Hello friends. How are you today? My name is Anne. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Israeli Gaming Industry Podbot today. Today's episode is titled, Hyper Casual as a Business Model. Anne Taylor is brought to you by Podbot.ai. Podbot.ai is a first-of-its-kind artificial intelligence-powered podcast maker. Turn any blog or article post into a full-length professional-sounding podcast and share it with the world. Let's face it, most people today have ADHD, and all the Adderall in the world won't make them sit down and read your boring quote-unquote content. They may however choose to listen to it in the car, in the gym, while running, when they take the dog for a walk, or while sitting in their cubicle pretending to work. So for your users sake, make your content easier to consume. Visit podbot.ai today and learn how your content can become easier to consume on the go. Based on data from the recent World Economic Forum report on hyper-casual gaming, we estimate that the approximate market for hyper-casual games in the U.S. is between $1.5 billion and $2 billion per year. While hyper-casual is not an official category in the App Store, many developers note that this genre is stirring up the App Store top free charts. Controversy has been sparked by the recent rise of ad-focused games such as Super Mario Bros. And Super Smash Bros. Rather than simply relying on ads, successful developers can tailor monetization to their customers, with some generating ad and affiliate revenue, others paying IAPs, and some preferring a freemium subscription model. Simply being the first to market covers a lot of sins in the early days of business, like being the first on the market, but it's also one of the best business models. That's why hyper-casual games dominate the App Store charts these days, and it's why developers seem to devote so little time to QS. Game development has been streamlining the process of making and marketing these types of apps, which is what makes them so successful. I'm thinking of the first Facebook game that seems to be both live and in maintenance mode. The mobile games market will be worth $80 billion in 2019, and mobile games overall will bring in more than $3 billion, with a significant chunk coming from hyper-casual games such as Clash of Clans and Super Smash Bros. For Android. Since almost half of all game downloads come from these types of apps, it is more important to generate a large portion of the game's revenue in the form of advertising revenue than advertising revenue from IAP-focused games. In hyper-casual game, the vast majority of revenue comes from ads, but that's just part of a much larger picture. Ads are very similar to IAPs in that instead of whales spending a lot on the app, users generate significant revenue by focusing heavily on advertising. The more important the revenue source from advertising monetization becomes, the more information is crucial and important for the business model. Therefore, it is important for app developers to adapt their implementation strategy to the number of users, the type of user base, and the amount of available advertising revenue. Rather than simply relying on ads, successful developers channel monetization for each customer, with some generating ad and affiliate revenue, others paying for IAPs, and others favoring a freemium subscription model. Simply being the first to enter the market covers many sins in the early days of business, such as simply being the first to enter the market. I'm thinking of Facebook, which seems to be in both maintenance and live mode, and I'm amazed at how little time developers seem to devote to quality assurance. Katkoff says the app revenue from its games is relatively small, but the scale is large and the company is able to operate a huge volume business. Games like Plagandry and Flipgun must compete with Clash of Clans as the top-grossing games in terms of downloads, even though hypercasual games dominate the download charts. If you make a mid-core casual game, you can monetize it, even though this business model is not sustainable unless you see an enormous amount of downloads. Marketers have noticed that their audience spends significant amounts of time on apps, which has led gambling companies to look for ways to monetize their audience. CleverTap lists four different ways to monetize hyper-casual games, two of which are through in-app purchases and advertising. Many freemium apps include an app purchase that gives users longer game time, such as a free trial of the game for a limited time. According to CleverTap, the number of hyper-casual games on the U.S. market has increased by 170% over the last 5 years compared to the average of the gaming industry. The rapid growth of hyper-casual has meant that other genres have adopted ads as a source of revenue to offset the declining number of users making in-app purchases. The successful use of advertising monetization by the genre has had an impact on the share of app advertising revenue, which has increased by 34% in core games since the beginning of the year. In addition, marketers can use the massive hyper-casual user base to promote other in-house titles and confront new audiences with their content while reducing UA spending. Even though only a handful of players actually make in-game app purchases, the ability to generate revenue from users is highly attractive in a game genre that is able to fully integrate ads into its game flow. In fact, we have seen a significant increase in ad revenue in games such as hyper-casual over the past 12 months. This is all for today, friends. My name is Anne and this was episode 2 of the Israeli Gaming Industry Podbot. See ya next time.